Well, congregation, we turn now to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is found on page 1197 in the Bibles provided. Hebrews chapter 3. These past 2 months, we have been looking closely at Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit. And we've seen how this fruit has several aspects, all which will be growing in every Christian, the combination and fullness of which is not possible without the work of the Holy Spirit. We're coming to the last few of these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to point out, as we come to these last few, it's not that they're last because they're least. It's actually, as I've studied these, and I trust as we study these together, we'll find that these build on and combine such with the other fruit, that these are very convicting fruits. These are fruit which really call us to see where we stand with our God. And so today we're going to come to the Christian fruit of faithfulness. And to consider this aspect of Christian fruit, I want us to begin by looking at the faithfulness at this fruit in our Lord Jesus Christ, as he's described in Hebrews chapter 3, the first 6 verses. I'll read these for us. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and preaching of his holy word. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Let's pray for God's blessing on this, his word. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear your word. Lord, we are needful to pay attention to this, your word, as to a light shining in a dark place. And so, Lord, would you draw our hearts and our minds to Jesus Christ? Would you help us to understand this, your word, not to think in generalities, but, Lord, concretely to be brought to the mind of the Spirit? Lord, that you would bear much fruit in us, and you would be glorified in all the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christians are sometimes called the faithful. And part of that designation is that you cannot be a Christian without faith. Faithful can refer to someone who believes. Particularly, to be a Christian, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the greater emphasis of that term, faithfulness, or the faithful referring to Christians, is on the reliability and perseverance and dependability of Christians. We are expected to be faithful, steadfast, reliable. And so we could start this sermon by asking, are we? What does that look like? Or rather, what should it look like as we consider the standard and source of all true faithfulness, that is God himself? And then, looking at him, in this sermon, I want to consider, what does a faithful community look like? What should the church look like as it is faithful? And the call to all of us is to be faithful because he is faithful. Be faithful because he is faithful. So let's start by saying that he who calls you is faithful. God is faithful. This is a joyous refrain throughout the scriptures. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Or Hebrews 10:23, encourage us to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. It's a call to us. Why are we to do that? He tells us, because he who promised is faithful. Or even as we've just sung, your faithfulness extends into the skies. God's faithfulness is the source of all true faithfulness and all of our faithfulness. His faithfulness is the standard, the perfect and unwavering faithfulness. And that faithfulness means, first we might look at, that he will hold fast to his promises. God is so committed to that which he has bound himself to his word, that we, when we're reading God's word, when we come across something has said would happen, even if that were is something that hasn't yet happened, if it's something referring to something future, we should consider that future, no matter how far ahead from our vantage point, is as certain as yesterday. God is faithful to do all that he said he would do. And that faithfulness then characterizes all his relationships. Have you ever dealt with someone who was unreliable? They might smile at you one day and slap you the next. Well, God's faithfulness means that his character, his attitudes, his actions towards those who are his people is something we can depend upon. If he promised to carry to completion what he started, he will surely do it. If it requires him to dash nations to pieces or to determine outcomes of wars or to raise the dead or even send his own son to die on the cross, he will do it. Indeed, he has done these things to keep his promises, to be that faithful one toward his people. Friends, why is God faithful? Well, it is because of his character. I want to point out here that there isn't anything outside of God that keeps him faithful. And we see this profoundly in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Well, for one, this tells us that God's faithfulness doesn't depend on us. You know as well as I do, at times we are faithless, but God remains faithful. Many people can press on with something with enough nudges, enough prodding, enough accountability, but God's not like that. When you take that away from certain people, they crumble. God will keep going. He's going to do what he set himself to do, even if you or I doubted, or even if we tried to make the opposite happen, or even if all humanity united together, God against the world, God is going to do it. God's yes trumps a billion of the world's no's. And so the reason also is in that verse from 2 Timothy 2:13. Why is he faithful? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? For he cannot deny himself. Now, you and I know that there are times when we need to deny ourselves. There are times when what we want is wrong or beyond what is possible, or it's just plain unfeasible. And yet everything that God wants is right, perfect, and in full accord with what he can do and will do. There's only one person God can never say no to, and that's himself. He does whatever he pleases. Praise him. Friends, here we see the root and foundation of all faithfulness. If we were to ask for a reason why God is so faithful, we cannot come up with one deeper than that God is who he says he is. God is faithful. This is his character. That's at root. That's where we get what faithfulness is. To put it another way, faithfulness is not a concept that is outside of God or above God that God may or may not be described by. No, faithfulness is a concept that we have some knowledge of because we know who God is. Because God is faithful. And furthermore, dear brothers, dear sisters, we know God's faithfulness in the flesh. Hebrews 3, which I read at the beginning of this sermon, tells us that Jesus was faithful to him who appointed him. Faithful not merely as a servant like Moses was, but faithful as a son. Of course, Jesus, being fully God, could not deny himself. And yet, he was also fully man. And as a man, he never turned from God's commands. He never did anything contrary to God's will. In fact, he never even desired to do what was evil. Such was the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if he were to be faithless but for a moment, it would be, as it were, to tear his two natures apart, to tear apart his person. So faithful was our Lord and Savior Jesus. So, dear ones, do you love God's faithfulness? For instance, does it give you great joy that the reason God has not yet made the earth perish in fire is because he remains faithful? Malachi 3:6 says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." And the reason why he continues this world spinning is that he desires to bring in all of his elect. Now, that's why we're still here. It's not because the church was good enough. It's not because there's something that God needs from us and we're yet to do that thing. It's not because enough of us remembered to pray. It's because he is faithful. Friends, the sun rises. It rose today. You can go outside and look at the sun. Well, don't look directly at it, but you can see the sun is shining. Why? Because he is faithful, dear ones. Friends, we were born and we live today because he's faithful. People today will repent and believe because the gospel is true, because he is faithful. And he will come to judge the world in righteousness at the last day because he is faithful. Are we those that know the God who is faithful? Are we enamored with this God because of his faithfulness? Do we rejoice and praise him because he remains faithful today and always will be so? If you are a Christian, I trust that you do. And what this faithfulness then shows us is that faithfulness is more than just not faithlessness. Now, you know as well as I do that we live in an unfaithful world. People everywhere break faith with one another. We could contrast that with a world, we can imagine a world where everyone was faithful. In such a world, you wouldn't have to lock your doors. You could trust people not to break into your house. You wouldn't have to check to make sure your children did their homework, because if they said they would, they most certainly did, and they double-checked it too. No one would need to be suspicious of a married man spending time with an unmarried woman. No one would need to keep a watchful eye on their children. There'd be no need to, well, if you receive a phone call or an email, to suspect that maybe the person on the other end is scamming you. Friends, if everyone was faithful, what a world we would live in. It would indeed be a world where a lion could lay down with a lamb. Friends, we know we do not live in that kind of world, not yet at least. We live in a world where thieves break in and steal. We live in a world where there are liars, cheaters, promise breakers, people who will try to earn your trust only to stab you in the back, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And a big problem in this world that we live in is that we then sometimes content ourselves with simply not being as bad as the world around us. And so you haven't cheated and walked out on your spouse. Does that make you faithful? Is it truly Christian character if we haven't robbed our neighbor, but we gossip about him when he's not here? Is it the fruit of the Spirit if we steal from our employers by handing in a time card that says one thing when we know we spent, boy, it was at least an hour browsing the internet? Friends, this is why we must continually look back to the faithfulness of God. for one, to praise him because he hasn't yet been distracted for an hour or even a single minute and the entirety of the cosmos perish. God is faithful. But also we need to look to God to see the faithfulness that he's growing in us individually and as a church. And so I'd like to consider three aspects of faithfulness as we find it in the scriptures. And so the first one is that faithfulness is wholehearted. There's a pattern in Kings and Chronicles that whenever God commands or observes his people to be faithful, that there's also something that talks about the heart, and particularly the wholeheartedness of that faithfulness. For instance, 1 Kings 2:4, this comes late in David's life when he recounts God's promise. He says, God said, "If your sons pay close attention to their way to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul," that wholeheartedness, "you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel." Or 2 Kings 20, verse 3, Hezekiah heard news that he would perish, and he pled with God. He said, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart." These emphasize that true faithfulness is wholehearted. God doesn't just want you to go through the motions of what faithfulness might look like, or be faithful in one relationship while in another you're faithless as ever. Faithfulness is not found where you have a divided heart or where you are two-faced. In fact, a divided heart is at the heart of faithlessness or unfaithfulness. Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." In context, Jesus was warning about being enslaved to possessions. You cannot serve God and money. And yet the principle extends to human relationships as well. In fact, if there are those who have learned in our relationship to God to be wholehearted, it will affect all other relationships. When I'm at work, I should be wholeheartedly working, doing what I'm paid for. No one can serve two masters. And furthermore, no one can be faithful to two lovers. No one can actually be committed to the one if in their heart they are committed to another. In reality, if you are amassing lovers, it is not because you are committed to either of your lovers, or even that you might think yourself such a great lover. In fact, you're a terrible lover, because it only means that you love yourself. Committed only to your own pleasure. And so whatever you do, and all your relationships, work at it with all your heart, wholeheartedly. If you are married, be wholeheartedly faithful to your spouse. If you have a job, be the best employee you could be, but work as if Jesus Christ were your supervisor. If you are entrusted with a task by your parents or by your elders, get it done. And if you can't get it done, ask for the help and follow through until it is done. Take ownership of the task you've been given, as if in your heart you really wanted to do it yourself. That's what faithfulness is. It's wholehearted. There was a father who asked his son to take out the garbage. The son had been listening to an audiobook with his headphones and solving a maze in his puzzle book, but he said, because he knew he was supposed to, he said, "Yes, sir, I'll go take out the garbage." And yet a few minutes later, he was struggling to lift the garbage into the bin at the curb, and his father saw and came near, and he says, "Dad, this is really heavy to lift." And Dad responds, "Well, yes, son, I suspect it would be, seeing as how you're carrying your headphones, your pencil, your book, as well as the garbage." Friends, being wholehearted in serving means sometimes we'll have to set down those things that distract us from serving. If we want to serve God with all our hearts, that means sometimes we need to say no to the other things that might be desirable, but they're not right in that context. As nice as those things are, they must be put down so that we can give ourselves 100% to what God has called us to do. So to several of us, this may mean put down the remote or the game console. Log off the social media or pause checking the news. Embrace the work, tasks, and relationships that God has given you, and do so with all your heart. And the next aspect of faithfulness has to do with where we are beginning to show that faithfulness His faithfulness is in little and in much. This principle comes from Jesus' teaching in Luke 16, 10 through 12. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Friends, one of the greatest hurdles to faithfulness is that we want to be faithful in the big things, in much. Now, that might not sound like a hurdle, but here's how it plays out. We have our eyes focused on what we perceive as the big things, which, by the way, aren't the things that God has put before us, aren't the things that God has placed into our hands to do. And we're so focused on those big things that we're absent-minded about those things that are right in front of us, are placed in our hands to do. Think of the student who daydreams about what he's going to do when he graduates college that he can't pass high school algebra. Or someone who is so anxious about who is going to be president that for five election cycles he's ignorant of what's going on locally in his community, about the local school board, about what's right in front of him. The enemy of being faithful now is hoping to be faithful later. But that's just the thing. Faithfulness isn't a light switch. It's a fruit. It is organic. It develops over time. Fruit begins small. I mean, if you look at the fruit trees in my yard, they had little fruits on them before they get big fruits. And therefore, it's appropriate then to begin with small faithfulness. Just the regular faithfulness that is right there in front of you, that God has already given you to do. Jesus goes on then, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been found faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Sometimes the faithfulness God calls us to is God giving us $1. That's what he gave us. And we promptly lose it and we ask God, hey, God, could you give us more next time? Maybe 10? Well, why should God give us more if we're already unfaithful with less? Now, we started this sermon by recognizing that God is faithful. He will give us what we need, but sometimes exactly what we need is a lesson in faithfulness. Would it not be right at times for God to withhold, to discipline us, and have us go search for the $1 we lost? Sometimes our first step in faithfulness will be to go back to correct the previous steps of unfaithfulness, to seek to undo those things. To be faithful in little. But friends, this has more to do than, it has to do with more than money. That is, that God not only gives us possessions, he entrusts us with responsibility, with authority, with relationships. Have you ever wished that God would entrust you with more? For instance, have you ever desired to serve God in a bigger family? Or maybe you'd like to be in a better position at work, or maybe have a bigger estate, a bigger home for you to live in. Or maybe your desire is in the church. You want to be a missionary. You want to be an elder, a deacon. You want to teach a Bible study or lead a service project. Well, one way to wait on God is to be faithful in the things he's already called you to do. And so are you faithful in your present position at work? Are you faithful in the family that you have now? Are you faithful in the church calling that you have now? Are you faithful in attendance? Are you there at prayer meeting? Are you part of a small group? Are you seeking those things that are already there for all of us in the church? Faithfulness should be manifesting itself where we are if we are Christ's. This is a fruit, then, we should all be bearing and growing in, even in the little that it manifests itself in our particular places and callings. And we should see this growing. When we, as a congregation, select a leader, for instance, when we elect a deacon, we did that recently, or when we as elders appoint someone to a committee or entrust someone with a task, we should be paying attention to the faithfulness that this person has shown. Have they been faithful where they are? We shouldn't just expect they'll suddenly sprout faithfulness if they aren't bearing the bit of fruit in the present calling they have. We should believe what Jesus said. He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And so having seen faithfulness in little and much, let's turn now then to a third characteristic of faithfulness, and that is faithfulness is reliable. Jesus asked Luke 12:42, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" Now this Jesus said in conjunction with a parable that we need to always be ready, for we know not when the master returns, nor when the thief breaks in. We need constant vigilance. And so faithfulness must be constant. It must be consistent. It feeds the other servants at the proper time. It has regularity. You don't feed someone and then, "I'll see you in a week and I'll feed you again then." Feeding is something that's regular. If you've ever had animals, you need to feed them regularly. Don't just do it in spurts. Poor Sammy, the hamster will not appreciate it. Faithfulness, friends. Faithfulness looks like this constancy. Unfaithfulness looks different. Unfaithfulness is not regular. Unfaithfulness says, "My master is delayed and feeds himself and gets drunk and beats the other servants." Such a servant, Jesus warns, will be cut in pieces and put with the unfaithful. And yet the faithful servant will feed the others with regularity. He is faithful not just to perform his duty, but he's faithful to the master. He is faithful then, because of his faithfulness to the master, to all the other servants. Now, while this certainly has application for us, I would like to first consider Jesus as the faithful servant without peer, without anyone else that could compare to his faithfulness. Because Jesus was reliable. No matter how they pressed him, Jesus would not turn aside from what the Father had commanded him to do. He preached the gospel. He preached the good news, even though that meant he would have to be faithful unto death. And friends, he is faithful still. Today, even today, Jesus sends his servants. He gives gifts to the church. He gives us the proper food at the proper time. Who is this faithful servant? It is Jesus, if it is anyone. And yet, as you consider Jesus' faithfulness, and as you've considered your own faithfulness, you may see Jesus' faithfulness as a threat. Jesus was faithful in all the ways we fail. Have you ever thought that suddenly does that make him a goody two-shoes? Doesn't his faithfulness actually expose all the faithlessness in us? Well, friends, as the sermon comes to a close, I want us to consider a last verse about the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a verse that I trust is familiar, but I want to draw it out because we've been looking at faithfulness and I want you to hear it in light of what it promises. Because it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If in this sermon, as we've been talking about faithfulness, as you've been looking at Jesus' faithfulness, at God's faithfulness, you cannot but see your own unrighteousness. You cannot but see your flaws. Perhaps you see how half-hearted your faithfulness has been, even to where you're ready to say this was just pure faithlessness altogether. Friends, if that is you, hear again this verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ that can be your hope for forgiveness. And so confess where you see faithlessness in yourself. Confess this very thing to Jesus, and his faithfulness will not stand against you, but for you. He who was faithful in all God's houses as a son, he whose faithfulness is up to the skies, he will forgive. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yes, dear ones, as we've been looking at this as the fruit of the Spirit, he will bear this fruit in us. So let's confess our sin. Let's look to him who is faithful. Let's rejoice in his faithfulness. Let's confess, "Lord, I'm not anything like you where I should be. But you are faithful. And I trust you to forgive. I trust you to make me more and more like yourself, to glorify your name by showing your strength, your faithfulness, and my weaknesses, and to overcome my faithlessness. If we are faithless, God is faithful. Faithful to judge, faithful to save all who put their trust in him. So again, I call you to be faithful because he is faithful. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, Lord, we thank you that your faithfulness is so reliable, so certain, so wholehearted, that you have not for a moment taken your eyes off of your great promises to keep one of the things that you have said from coming to pass. Lord, you sustain this world, you sustain our lives, you are faithful. And you, Lord Jesus, were faithful unto death. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. Lord, bring us to be more and more a faithful people. Lord, forgive us where we have been half-hearted, where we have been unreliable, where we have looked past the small steps of faithfulness that you've called us to that are right before our faces, and set our hearts to be faithful in a way that you've not yet called us to be. Lord, use this, your word, to shape us. Lord, forgive us our sins and cleanse us because you are faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.